is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Have you hugged your tree today? Did you take out the recycling this morning? Are you green friendly? Are you an evangelical Christian? That seems to be the question some people are asking. Some people are saying evangelical Christianity means ditching and destroying the environment. That's what I want to talk about today. Does evangelical Christianity mean that we have to be environmentally unfriendly? What can we go along with when it comes to caring for the creation? And what can we say that goes too far? I want you to join the conversation at 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Dr. Mohler is on a whirlwind speaking tour of the left coast right now. He is in California speaking, doing some lectures about all kinds of different matters. Some of you may be around where he is, and you can go out and listen to them. And I know that you will enjoy them. But today, we're going to be talking about creation care and the environment. How can we be Christians and conservationists? Join the conversation at 877-893-TALK. But first, some in-the-news headlines today. I don't know how many of you saw Coretta Scott King's funeral today. I watched a little bit of it, and it was kind of sad to see this very dignified, courageous woman, her funeral, and having such things going on as former President Carter standing up and turning this into a political moment, blasting President Bush with President Bush and Mrs. Bush right there over issues as varied as the Iraq War to the NSA wiretapping issue. You had Joseph Lowery, head of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, standing up and doing the exact same thing, although in rhyme. You know, this is really the equivalent of the Paul Wellstone funeral of a few years ago, in which you had a memorial service turned into a political event, except I think it's worse, because here you have this woman who should be honored as someone who is so courageous, did so much to advance the cause of civil rights and human rights, and yet her funeral is turned into a political moment. There's just something tragic about that. Also today, Iran has told the International Atomic Energy Agency to remove the surveillance cameras. They want them out. We need to really be in prayer right now as Tehran is determined, it seems, to have a nuclear weapon. And if the Iranians have a nuclear weapon, that is a scary reality of what could happen across the Middle East as you have Arab countries seeking to keep up with nuclear proliferation. You have Israel in real danger with an Iranian government armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons. This is going to be a difficult one to sort out, and we need to be praying and thinking about that right now. There's a disagreement going on right now. Apparently, a professor, Peter Lawrence, a biologist in England, has written for a journal, Science. They didn't publish the piece because he is arguing that you have 60% of biology students female, but only 10% of them go on to become professors. And what Lawrence is arguing is that there's a difference between men and women. As he says it, men and women are born different. Now, that is a dangerous thing to say these days, that there are some things that just are different between men and women in terms of priorities, in terms of role, in terms of makeup. That's not something that one can say these days. Also, a lot of controversy going on right now about the Rolling Stones and their halftime show at the Super Bowl, which apparently went over the line some places when it comes to obscenity, when it comes to saying things that were not appropriate for television. And, you know, these guys are still in rebellion, even though they are so old. I mean, the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger is a walking advertisement about the dangers of drugs. Forget the saucepan with the egg in it. I mean, Mick Jagger does not look good. And yet he's still in rebellion against a culture of restraint. And the Church of England Synod is moving toward the consecration of women bishops. They are already talking about that and thinking through the issues of what it would mean to have female bishops. I'm surprised it has taken this long for that particular synod to start working on that issue. And yet, the Church of England is becoming increasingly irrelevant to any kind of discussion of Christianity in England or anywhere else, as the Church of England is becoming more and more like England, less and less like the Church. Well, today we want to talk about environmentalism. Yesterday I mentioned on the air about being in Washington, D.C. and having a secular woman, part of the media, say to me, you know, you're an evangelical. When you think evangelical, what you think is white sheets. And by that she means the Klan. You know, that's just the kind of bigotry against evangelical Christians and against all conservative Christians that you can find almost anywhere in this country. But there are all kinds of layers to this. And one of the interesting layers that I am seeing popping up more and more is the idea that Christianity itself leads to the destruction of the environment. That it's because you have evangelical Christianity, this is the reason why people feel that they can destroy the planet. And so there are some arguing, for instance, that Christians take passages like Genesis, the command to subdue the earth and to have dominion over the earth, that this equals strip mining. This equals the pollution of the waters. That this equals the degradation of the creation. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm an old-fashioned Teddy Roosevelt conservationist. I hate urban sprawl. I love the woods. I love creeks. I love rivers, and I believe in protecting the natural landscape. But sure, I suppose you can find people who would argue that you ought to put up a Walmart on every spare plot of land because the Bible tells you so, but people are just using the Bible to justify all kinds of things. That doesn't mean that Christianity equals or mandates the destruction of the environment. And also, I think the issue really comes down to the fact that you have some people saying that environmental protection equals what we believe to be environmental protection. In order to be an environmentalist, one has to support, for instance, population control. One has to support the Kyoto protocols. One has to support all of these proposals that are coming down, including in some areas of the environmental movement, a really thinly veiled nature worship. And I've been a part of all kinds of organizations in which you can come in and start talking about common sense ways to protect creation, to conserve natural resources. And very, very often, those who are drawn to environmental issues right now tend to be those who want to deify nature, who want to see nature itself as being a god or a goddess. Now, part of that is our fault, because evangelical Christians haven't been addressing these issues often enough and haven't been addressing these issues with enough passion. So there's a vacuum. It's being filled by neo-pagans. On the other hand, you have so much garbage coming out of the environmental movement these days from the likes of, for instance, former Vice President Al Gore, who writes in his book Earth in the Balance that monotheism is a real cause of environmental degradation. The idea that there is one God who is outside of space and outside of the created order, that this God, that this belief in one God, that that's the reason why you have so much environmental degradation. Now, Al Gore's a monotheist, but he says, you know, this causes this kind of environmental degradation. I just don't agree. I think that Christianity actually provides the basis for the care of creation. That doesn't mean that we're going to agree all the time on what that ought to be or what that ought to look like, but it does mean that if you hold to Christianity, you hold that God has created the natural order, He's declared it to be good, it reveals His glory, it reveals something about Him, and ultimately He's going to redeem it through the blood of Christ. That means you have to have a care for the creation. That means you have to be concerned about the natural order because God created it and God declared it to be good. Not just useful, but good. But not everybody agrees with me. We're going to have, after the break, a woman by the name of Stephanie Hendricks who has written a little book called Divine Destruction, Wise Use, Dominion Theology, and the Making of American Environmental Policy, in which she says, you are to blame for a dirty earth. Yeah, you. Sitting in your car, you evangelical Christian, You've got that copy of the Bible next to you, and that means you want to trash the planet. Do you agree with her? Well, let's hear what she has to say. Let's hear her out. And I want you to join the conversation. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. How do you protect the creation? How do you protect the environment? Or do you think, you know what, this is all going to be burned up anyway in the end, so let's just have at it and use it the best we can? Is that your attitude? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
They pay paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Won't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
I had such a crush on that woman when I was in high school, Amy Grant. I'm over it now. I am over it. But she still has a great voice, and she's able to communicate what she's saying, and she's taking up an old 60s counterculture song, Paved Paradise, and put up a parking lot, an evangelical Christian lamenting the environment being destroyed. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program, and that's what we're talking about today. Does Christianity cause you to care less about the earth and about creation? And what I want to know from you is, those of you who are evangelical Christians out there, do you recycle? What do you do to take care of the planet? Or are you one of these people who says, you know what, Jesus is coming back, I don't care what happens to the trees and the grass and the water, you know, pave it all. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have with us on the line Stephanie Hendricks, who is a journalist who has written a very provocative book called Divine Destruction. She's an Emmy Award-winning broadcast journalist, and she's been working for 35 years in the media for ABC Radio, CBS TV, and she has written a book called Divine Destruction, in which she is arguing that there is a sense in which conservative Christians are working with corporate America to destroy the environment, to dirty up the planet. Stephanie Hendricks, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks so much, Dr. Moore, for having me on. I really appreciate being with you.
Well, I appreciate having you here. I read your book and found it very interesting. Now, can you kind of explain to us what you think the connection is between Christianity and our understanding of the environment?
Well, I think actually, and you know, this story unfolded as I researched it. It wasn't something that I thought up on my own. I was actually assigned to find out who was attacking the federal forest management plan here in California in our Sierra Nevada mountains. And I discovered a real strong connection between the Wise Use movement and some fundamentalist Christians who really enjoyed tearing up the environment. And I honor Christ. I wouldn't call myself a fundamentalist Christian, but I honor Christians. And so I'm like, well, this does not jive with my understanding of Christianity. My mother was a fundamentalist Christian, and my sister is. So I have a familiarity, and we have loving discussions about God. So I don't hate anyone or dislike anyone for their religion. And so I just researched it a little further, and what seemed to occur to me is that there are some people using Christianity to justify environmentally destructive policies, policies that might not exactly support biblical direction to preserve God's work. And if you look at voting policies, for example, of some people in Congress who call themselves fundamentalist evangelical Christians, or political appointees in our federal government, like Stephen Johnson, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, who attends an evangelical church in Maryland, but you look at their actions, which are very harmful to the environment and also to people, and people in those environments, you've got to pause to wonder, do these people subscribe to the type of Christianity that I'm sure you guys have discussed on your air, but the Reconstructionists and the Dominion theologists, who, I hate to paraphrase it, in a talk show moment, but it's because it is a complex topic, and I really understand and respect that. But who basically are saying it's okay, you know, Armageddon's coming, and so we have to use everything up so that Christ can return, or are they like Rich Cizik with the National Association of Evangelicals in Washington, saying, wait a minute, we have to make the Earth restoration a priority because when Jesus comes back, he's going to be mad that we're not taking care of creation. So that was what I kind of ended up looking at in the book, and I must admit my publisher kind of went a little heavy on the negative aspects of Christianity in this. But if you do read the book, as I'm reassured that you did, then you see that there's this other part, this good news part of the story is that there are people who interpret the Bible that we have to restore the earth and are working very hard to honor their spiritual Christian direction in that way.
Well, Stephanie, one of the things I'm concerned about, I don't think that you understand dominion theology exactly correctly. I mean, Reconstructionism, it seems to be conflated in this book with dispensationalism and understanding that Jesus is coming back and so it doesn't matter what we do, when Reconstructionism is saying exactly the opposite, that we're actually going to take control, where the post-millennially Jesus is through the Spirit expanding his reign and his rule. The other thing that I was really concerned about, you mentioned Rich Cizik, who's a friend of mine, National Association of Evangelicals. One of the things that I'm kind of frustrated with is the fact that Christians who are honored as being environmentally friendly are often people who simply offer no argument with the environmentalist specific policy proposals. Can't we, as evangelical Christians, say we agree that we ought to respect the environment, we ought to protect creation, but we can disagree on how much government is required to achieve this?
You know, the whole how much government question is not something that I was interested in this topic, because we have the largest government now we've had since World War II, yet the people in the Wise Use Movement who support this government don't believe in any government at all. So we're living, as you well know better than I, in a topsy-turvy world where up is down and down is up and things are crazy. And so the whole government thing, I mean, right now we don't really have a balance of power in government, and so everything is sort of the same. The Supreme Court's the same as the executive branch, the same as Congress right now. And as a mother, and as someone who prays, I pray every single day, all the time, I am so touched in nature to pray even more, that I'm, you know, my soul sort of focus on this whole thing is, you know, is it Christian to roll back environmental protections? Is it Christian to, you know, say that it's okay to test pesticides on human beings? Is it okay to, for example, down in the Gulf area, and by the way, my heart goes out to you. I just in the hour or so that I knew you were going to be hosting the show, I saw your essay on Katrina and Biloxi, and I'm so sorry that what you and your family and so forth must have gone through. But you know what? Right now they're trying to repeal public health law so that there's no testing of water for the rebuilding of these areas, and that's so crazy. But the reason they want to repeal that, they're saying it's to hurry up the rebuilding of the area. But in fact, if they do test the water, it's going to be toxic, and they won't be able to build their casinos and the things that they want to do. So there has to be some sort of oversight of the commons, and if our government isn't going to do it, which they aren't doing right now, then we as spiritual beings, whether you're Christian or whatever kind of Christian you are, it seems to me we can have a common value that we may disagree on a lot of other issues, but we can agree that we want clean air, clean water, clean earth. We want our children not to develop health problems because of the ozone hole in the atmosphere. I mean, we're the only government in the world now promoting methyl bromide for growing tomatoes and strawberries, which causes the hole in the ozone layer. The whole rest of the world has stopped using it, and we're insisting on using more of it. So is there a religious ideology driving this, saying, hey, it's okay to create that big hole in the ozone layer because Jesus is coming? Is that what's going on here? Or is that religion being are religious people being manipulated to move forward the profit-driven agendas of the corporations that paid for the campaigns for these people who say they're Christians to get in office? That's the question I'm posing here. And we should think about that.
Well, thank you very much, Stephanie Hendricks. I want to know from you, does your religion cause you to not be all that concerned about the environment, or is it the opposite? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Yeah, right. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. That's Pocahontas telling us that the earth is divine, that every rock and tree and forest has a life, has a spirit, has a name. Do you have to believe that nonsense in order to protect the creation? You know, I have threatened my wife that we're going to stop recycling. Not because I don't believe in recycling, but because we've got this huge recycle bin outside that my kids like to play in because it has the little empty bottles and shampoo containers and all that kind of thing. And they're actually scattering them all over the yard. And I said, we're polluting our neighborhood with our recycling bin. We're just going to stop doing it. But I'm not. We're going to keep recycling. We're going to keep doing that. But, you know, Stephanie Hendricks made a point on this radio program and in her book, Divine Destruction, that all kinds of people are making, that if you're a Christian, you're obviously going to be opposed to environmental protection. Now, the thing that I think is the problem with Stephanie's argument is that she's defining environmental protection only in terms of the specific policy proposals coming out of the Sierra Club. Now, I agree with some of the things the Sierra Club has to say, but can't we disagree exactly on how we're going to protect the creation while at the same time saying we need to protect the creation? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Does being a Christian cause you to be more or less concerned about, and I hate the term, the environment. That is so abstract. The creation, the natural order. Does it cause you to be more concerned about it or less? Are you one of these people that she's talking about who says, you know what, Jesus is coming back. If we just tear down all the trees, if we use them all for paper bags, then Jesus will come back sooner. I haven't met anybody like that. I'm sure there are people like that. Most of the time, I think people who aren't concerned about the creation aren't concerned just because they're not thinking about it. That's really the problem. I just haven't met these Christians. Maybe you have. Maybe you're one of them. Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. We have Gary on the line listening on WHCB from Kingsport, Tennessee. Gary, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be on.
Well, good to have you with us. What's your thought today?
Well, I certainly believe strongly that God, our Creator, created the heavens and the earth. And he created us, and the earth and the heavens are our kingdom to protect and to be responsible for. I don't believe for a minute that Christianity is a result of our environmental woes. I believe that it is sin and rebellion against God and not living responsibly, living in a lustful and a greedy world. And it's not because we are Christians. It's a result of rebellion against God. And God is our creator, and we must always remember that God is in control. And to say that Christianity is a result or Christianity supports anti-environmental issues is absolutely wrong. Accusation, and I believe if there are Christians that believe that and embellish that, it's certainly a minority.
Oh, I think so, too. I just haven't seen these people. I mean, I know there are Christians who aren't concerned about the creation, but there are all kinds of people who aren't concerned about the creation. It's something that, yes, we need to preach about, we need to teach about, but that doesn't mean that we need to adopt every neo-pagan environmentalist's idea about what should be protected in the environment. Sometimes we have to say, you know, we are called to have dominion over the created order. That means that the earth is here for us to use in a careful way of stewardship. And so we're not believing, as some environmentalists do, that human beings are a parasite on the planet. On the other hand, we do protect the created order, and we need to find out exactly how to do that. We have Matt on the line, listening on XM Radio, listening in Atlantic, Iowa. Matt, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you, sir.
Good to have you with us. What's your thought today?
Well, I just wanted to take issue with the young lady, because being a Christian, I'm passionate about creation.
Mm-hmm.
And to insinuate that we're sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back, and so we might as well just waste everything up, is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. We even had a caller call in and say that he's heard the argument that some environmentalists say Christians believe that there have to be holes in the ozone layer for Jesus to return. I mean, I just haven't met these Christians. I don't know who they are. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you have to fire up a chainsaw to fell every tree. On the other hand, being a Christian does mean you have to say, you know what? Everything the environmental movement comes out with, we're not going to blindly go along with it, especially when it results in some anti-human policies like population control suggestions that are coming from many of our environmentalist organizations. What do you think? Does your religion cause you to care more about protecting creation or less? And how do you do it? What do? Do you recycle? Do you teach your children about creation? How do you protect the creation as a Christian? Give me a call at 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go down.
Well, that Mississippi River, it's going dry, Hank Jr. says, but the preacher man says it's the end of time, so should we really be all that worried about it? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about whether or not Christianity causes you to have a disregard for the creation. Some people say it does. As a matter of fact, Stephanie Hendricks, Divine Destruction, her book, our guest, she argues that Christianity actually causes people to be callous toward the environment, at least conservative Christianity. So I want to ask those of you who, like me, are conservative evangelical Christians, does your religion cause you to have a disregard for the created order? Or is it the opposite? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. And if so, what do you do as a Christian to protect the environment, to protect the created order? 877-893-TALK. We have Ron listening on XM Radio in Bakersfield, California. Ron, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How you doing, sir? How are you today?
I'm doing great. What's your thought today?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that being a Christian does not make you want to tear the environment up. God's Word teaches us to be stewards of the earth and to take care of it. One issue that you brought up was about the burning a hole in the ozone layer. Prophecy shows that the word in the Word of God that the 1,000 years we're going to have the 1,000 year millennium, and the Earth has to last 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is going to definitely preserve the Earth at least 1,000 years more, plus 7 years of tribulation. So
well,
that shows right there that the Lord has control over the earth, and we are to be stewards of it and to take care of it until he comes or until we die.
Well, I'd argue that the earth is going to last even longer than the 1,000 years of the millennium. I think that a new earth will exist forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's what Revelation 21 and 22 teaches us, that God's going to restore his creation, including the earth. I think Ron makes an important point here, and that is, so often what you have in environmentalism is panic. You have environmental apocalypticism. We're going to run out of water in 20 years. We're going to run out of space in 7 years. We're going to tear through the ozone layer, and we're all going to be melting all over the face of the earth. You hear that all the time, and it makes for good demagogic letter writing to raise funds. But as Christians, Ron's exactly right. We do know that as we're caring for and protecting the planet, we understand that the planet is not going to be destroyed. It will exist. The created order will exist. As a matter of fact, God gives his promises, for instance, in Jeremiah, as long as the sun and the moon endure in the sky, they will endure. So this kind of crazy panic Chicken Little stuff, we agree, as Christians, we just can't go for that. We have Ed listening in Winchester, Virginia on XM Radio. Ed, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to ask where these people get their facts, because as far as the the ozone layer, I've heard both sides. Some say it's this big, some say it's that big, and it seems that when they want to sell a book or something, they'll use whichever side that they need. And as far as the Bible is concerned, Christians are to glorify God in all that they say, they do, they eat, they drink, and they think.
Yeah.
How does trashing the earth glorify God?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I think that you see, for instance, people throwing things out of their cars, throwing out styrofoam onto the middle of the interstate. That's a disrespect, I think, of the creation. That's really a heart issue. I would even argue that kind of carelessness can be a sin issue within the heart of a believer that needs to be corrected. But Ed brings up a good point. So often, one of the reasons why Christians are confused in terms of protecting the environment is that you've got an environmental movement. And it's made up of people who are making a living doing this. And the way they make a living is the same way any interest group makes a living. It's by making sure that you have a hot issue that keeps people interested. And a lot of times, scaremongering comes along with that. And half the time, you're wondering, what is the status of the ozone layer? What is the status of global warming? Is there such a thing as global warming? I don't know. Because you have all of these statistics and all of these facts that are coming in from these different ideological groups. Sometimes you have Christians who are just saying, I don't even know what to think about this. How about you? Does your religion as a conservative Christian cause you to trash the environment or just not to be concerned about it? Give me a call at 877-893-TALK and join the conversation. We have Bill listening in Houston, Texas, listening on XM Radio. Bill, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Good to have you with us.
I love these programs. But what I wanted to say is Jesus set an example in the story of the fishes and the loaves. You know, when the crowd had left, he told the disciples to clean up, you know,
yeah.
And they marveled at what was left over. He wasn't sitting back picking his teeth going, now let me show you what a great thing I done.
Yeah.
He just said, clean up the mess.
Well, that is an interesting point, Bill. Jesus did clean up the mess that was left over. You know, I've never even thought about the multitudes actually being environmental polluters. They're kind of leaving their mess and getting up and leaving. That's an interesting point. The apostles pick it up. They bring it back. Yeah, that's a good point. Steve, who is listening in Minnesota on XM Radio. Steve, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
I just had a quick comment. I mean, in the Bible, it originally, I mean, that was kind of the whole point, that we were supposed to, because of sin now and getting kicked out of the garden, we were supposed to go and we were supposed to work the land.
Yeah.
My family, we've been in the logging business for 30 years. You try to do a good job, management, but not insanity. That's about it.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve, because you're right. You do have many in the far extremes of the environmental movement who, when they're talking about protecting the environment, they're talking about not using it. And you're exactly right. The Bible gives to Adam not only the ability to use the earth, but the responsibility to till the earth. Agriculture is part of the mandate given to human beings. And we have to say as Christians, you know, if what you're talking about when you talk about environmentalism is complete hands off, we have to say we just can't do that. We just can't go that far. What about you? Do you agree with me? Maybe I'm crazy. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I just think there is a middle ground here between earth first and tear everything down. And I think the middle ground is Genesis. 877-893-TALK. Creation, the environment, and Christianity. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Did we start the fire? Did we cause the trashing of the earth? And by we, I'm talking about Christians. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and we're talking about creation care today. And Stephanie Hendricks and a bunch of other people are saying, you're to blame, I'm to blame for the ozone layer. We're to blame for dirty water because Christianity itself teaches the dominion of the created order, and that means a dirty environment. We have Gary, who is listening in Vermilion, South Dakota on XM Radio. Gary, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you, Russell. It's good to talk to you.
Good to have you with us. What's your thought today?
I know these issues tend to get really murky and the water gets really muddy because politics enters into it.
Yeah.
It seems that every time an argument's made, there's a political agenda behind the environmental argument. And I think people just need to listen carefully and test what's being said against the scripture, because everything that's said, there's an answer in the Bible. It's just a matter of going in and getting it out.
Yeah, and Gary, I think a lot of it has to do with, you've got basic biblical principles. We're to care for the environment. We're to care for creation. We're stewards of it. We're going to be held responsible for it. God has put all things under the feet of humanity. The creation is in revolt against humanity. And one day, God is going to restore the entire created order, including trees and rocks and waterfalls. God's concerned with all of these things. He's declared them to be good. God loves biodiversity. He has created all of these different kinds of animals. And we're to take responsibility and stewardship over them. And I think we need to do that at the same time saying, okay, how do we balance being stewards and using the creation that God has given to us without worshiping it, without destroying it at the same time? And sometimes that means we're going to disagree a little bit about exactly what that looks like. But that's part of what it means to be stewards. That's part of what it means to decide how to use the environment and how to protect it. And I think we need to conserve natural resources. I don't want to see every stretch of land becoming urban sprawl. Who wants to see all of our forests and wildlife turning into Olive Garden restaurants all over the place? Not me. I think that what's glorifying to God is to protect these things at the same time that we recognize that we ought to use them. And that's what I think the environmental movement right now just doesn't get. That this isn't an abstract environment. It's a creation. And it's something that God's created for human beings. And not just for human beings, but for one specific human being. Jesus of Nazareth. And one day he'll stand having restored the entire creation. That's a conservationist. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.